and then we'll go into today's message. God, I want to thank you so much for this time. We ask for your blessing upon all of us. As we listen to your word, help us to understand and perceive through your Spirit's understanding. Help us to gain knowledge of God that impacts our life. And what we want is more than anything, not just to be challenged right now or to be provoked into thinking about changes, but rather, Lord God, leading to action. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's passage is John 6. And so if you guys want to turn there with me, ESV Bible page 762. It's actually one of those stories that you find in every gospel, I think. So it's very interesting. John 6, 1 through 14. And it's a story that all of you guys know very well. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Amen. Very well-known story, and so I'm not going to spend too much time describing it, but we'll look at a few components. Today's title was basically, "Be Like the Boy." And so we're going to try to emphasize on the boy's part in this story. Oh, but before I continue, I forgot to mention one thing. We have Bible studies on Tuesdays, and actually, I don't think I've ever encouraged you guys to come since I've been here, because we had Bible studies before I came, and so I kind of had to do it. It wasn't more like I had a choice. I like doing it, but I like to do things with a purpose and meaning behind it. And so I didn't know if it was something that I wanted to continue and so on. But I've been doing it for a year and 4 months now, and I think it's worthwhile. And so it's a new year, and I want to encourage all the people who have not checked it out to at least check it out one time before the end of next quarter, which is 3 months. Just check it out. It's something that we make it available, and see if it's something that could help you grow in your relationship with God. Okay? Now back to the passage. Let me just share a few things about this story, basically what's going on. So Jesus is traveling. He's not trying to have a big rally. He's not trying to have a big event where a bunch of people are coming and being ministered by him. But they have seen the signs and wonders that he's doing. They know he's powerful. And so people are naturally gathering up and they're following him. And so as he sees that, oftentimes what he does is he's moved with compassion, moved with love. And it's consistent, right? Whenever people come with a need, he always tries to help them. And if people don't receive what they're looking for, it's because of one reason, which is they didn't want it, or they didn't like the way he answered that question. But he always tries to help, and there's compassion that he shows consistently. And so here, people are coming, and he's doing like an impromptu service because of the people. And he's speaking and whatnot. And Bible says 5,000 men specifically. And so counting the women and maybe the children, usually when they're counting the men, it's people who are young, like between like 18 to like 45. I don't get offended if you're not in that category. I'm just saying, you know. And so, you know, people say maybe 12,000 people or 13,000 people. Whenever I hear stories like that, whenever I hear stories about how, you know, Abraham Lincoln used to speak in front of like tens of thousands of people, number one question I always think in my head is, how do they hear him? Like, how do you talk to tens of thousands of people where they hear your voice without a mic? Apparently, acoustics has a lot of power. I don't know. And so, tens of thousands of people are there. And what's, for me, you know, like, amazing for me is verse 4. Let's look at verse 4. Okay. And I'll read it for us. "Now the Passover, the feast of Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, 'Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?'" And so, what's, like, amazing for me is, he like, on his own creates a problem. Okay? And this is what I mean. This was not an organized event. It was not an event where they're doing promo, and they've shared for like months, oh, on this day, Jesus is going to come, and we're going to have a huge rally. And so let's just gather as many people as possible. And in that promo, they said food will be provided. Okay? That's one of my least favorite things to do, to promise food, because that means more work. And I was talking to one of my youth pastor friends, and it's just funny, because when you're a youth pastor, there are a few things that you learn while you're working. And one of the things that you learn about is, what's the maximum amount of food you could buy with a certain amount of money? And so, I used to have a budget, and I used to have like 50 kids who come on Friday nights, and I had a budget of $100. And so, I had to be very creative in how to produce 50 people's worth of food for $100. It's a problem that I don't like to have, okay? And so, we're talking about how youth pastors, you know, they gather skills that are not useful anywhere else in the world, but, you know. So, here, he's creating a problem. They didn't promise food, and they didn't even promise a rally. They didn't even have to speak. But they decided to come and follow him, and so Jesus, out of his compassion, says, okay, you know what, I'll speak to you guys, because I'm nice. But he even takes a step further, where he says, you know what, Philip, I think we should provide food for them. And so, I mean, for me, that's like a crazy idea, because let's say they wanted to provide food. And so Philip's idea is, look, he's like, even if we had 200 denarii, which is tens of thousands of dollars, I don't think we could produce enough food to have them even eat a little bit, right? He's saying, we don't have the money. I think for me, it's not even the money. Even if they had the money, how do you produce enough food for 13,000 people just like that? There's no restaurants. They're in a rural area. Even if there was a restaurant, oh, okay, can we order 13,000 burgers? Like, where can you go and produce that much food without any preparation? So here, what's shocking for me is Jesus takes on a problem, not only takes on a problem that he didn't have to do, but it's a problem that is impossible. He could come to any one of us in the world at that moment, and he could say, you know what, let's try to feed him. What can anyone do? What can you do? Do you have any ideas? If I come to you guys today, okay, let's forget about 13,000, let's say 1,000 people. And I say, you know, I think we should feed the 1,000 people who are here today. Anyone have good ideas to produce food within 30 minutes? Yes, sir. Okay, there you go, pray, and then start calling every restaurant in the area. 1,000 people is overwhelming. 13,000 people, 2,000 years ago, impossible. The problem that he was asking Philip to solve was impossible problem. And I think that's one thing that we have to kind of think about. Whenever you're discouraged by the things that your church or your life is going through, and you feel like the task in itself is improbable or impossible to fix. Because here, not only was there a problem that maybe somebody else created and became a huge deal, but Jesus purposely, on his own, creates it. And so, I remember the very first message I shared when I came to interview for our church, and the title of that message was Life Happens. Good memory. It's a year and a half ago. And it was based on chapter 12 of Genesis. You guys should be a little impressed here. Come on, a year and a half? That's pretty good, right? Thank you. I don't even remember because I saw it recently. Anyways, and that whole point was how Abraham was going this direction where God wanted him to do, but famine happened, and he changed the way he was supposed to go based on human thinking. Like, there's famine. I need to fix this problem. Okay. Sometimes life gets harder because we don't listen to God, and we try to take our lives into our own hands, and we make a bigger mess of it. Like, it just, problems get bigger and bigger and bigger the more you're away from God's will. In this case, they weren't away from God's will. They were doing exactly what Jesus wanted, and yet the problem got bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, as a Christian, sometimes I feel like if I'm doing what God wants me to do, life should be easy. There should be no problems. But the fact is, over and over again, if you do what God wants you to do, sometimes problems arise that are just overwhelming. It's part of life. And as a Christian, you need to accept that. Now, what's amazing is, he brings those problems on, and it's clear that there's a reason and purpose behind it, and he is the solution. He doesn't just say, oh, tough luck, good luck to you, I'll talk to you in 3 years, you know, after all that's done. No, he has an answer. He asks, let's look at this, verse 7. Let's start from verse 5 again. Lifting up his eyes, and then seeing a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. So he was creating a problem that he was in control of. know, he was creating something. He knew what Philip would, you know, it's impossible. But he's saying, look, I have it under control, but I just want to see how you're going to react. I just want to see how you're going to think this through. I just want to see how you're going to work it out in your faith, in your relationship with me. Do you trust me enough? You've seen me heal, you know, people after people. Do you feel like I could do something? God could do something right now that you can't even imagine. See, God, sometimes creates problems in our lives already knowing the answer. He just wants us to see, you know, do you know me a little bit better than before? Can you trust me with this? Let's see what happens. And there's something good that's going to come out. And so, one of the disciples, verse 8, this is for me amazing. Verse 8, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy who here has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? And so, Philip's like, even if we have tens of thousands of dollars, we can't fix this problem. But Andrew, I don't even know what he's thinking. He's thinking, well, Jesus, I have an idea. There's a boy who gave me 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Here you go. Maybe we could do something with it to feed 13,000 people. If I'm Jesus, I'm not sure if I'm more disturbed by Philip's answer or Andrew's answer, because that's kind of ridiculous, right? What if at church I have a huge problem and I come to you guys and one person is saying, well, this is pretty much impossible. Another person is saying, well, there's a little bit here. Maybe we could do something with it. I mean, I don't know if it's faith or Andrew's just not very smart. We don't know. We could ask Andrew when we go to heaven. I want to ask him, were you just being dumb or were you being smart? I don't know. But he's saying there's 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish. Here we go. Okay? Now, let's focus on the boy who brought it to Andrew. We don't know why he brought it. Maybe he heard what Jesus was asking. There's 13,000 people. I want to feed them. His boy says, you know what? This is supposed to be my lunch. This was my dinner. I want to give it to Jesus. So maybe he could eat it. But he brings what he has. A little boy. And I think it's not by chance that Scripture picks a boy. It was not a man or a woman or someone who's really powerful. It was a little boy. Right? He gives what he has. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he was led by God. But he brought it. And I think the point here is that he gave everything that he had. And he gave it without thinking, oh, you know, this is little. What can I do? He gave it just because maybe he wanted to offer it to Jesus. And he let it go. And I think that's one thing that God wants each and every single one of us to think about when we think about the things that we have or what we could give. Now, there are some people who feel like they have a lot to give. Like, oh, you know, I'm very talented. I have a lot to give. I'm very important in church. God is lucky to have me, you know, be part of his team. I used to think like that when I was younger, right? But I think a lot more people at church feel like, you know, what can I do? What can I give to our church? What can I give to God? Well, the little boy just gave 5 barley loaves of bread and 2 fish. And what he did was he gave it to Jesus. And he said, you know what, it's yours. You can do whatever you want with it. And after that is God just taking and doing something that only he can do. And what he's asking us, I think a lot of times, is here, be like the boy. Don't think about, you know, the great things you could do or the little things that you were able to do. God's the one who provided everything that you have already. Your talents, gifts, time, money, possessions, that's from God. And all he's asking is, when I ask you for it, are you going to have open palms and give it to me like the little boy? Not thinking logically, you know, what good would it be? What good would it be? I think there are many, many moments in life where little actions change someone's life. Okay. And one thing I'm so proud of our church right now is, you know, we had 10 child forms for Compassion, and we're not a huge church. We average about 30 people. Every single person got picked. And you know what's funny is Jenny was the person who coordinated, and she included in the email, and the person who was telling us about it, and he was the one who was going to send the packet, he was saying, oh, I don't think I should send you a lot of packets because they send it to bigger churches and the response is usually a lot smaller. And so they were trying to discourage us from even asking for like 10 packets, you know, knowing the size of our church. And so we were a little persistent and they ended up sending it. And when we told them that every single person got picked, they were shocked. Right? I love that. But the point I want to make is you don't know the impact that can make in someone's life. We really don't, because we live in a world that's so different from most of the world. But you can't ever say, you know, oh, this is just not that much. Because when God takes it, just like this little boy is offering, he could do amazing, miraculous things. And I think we need to have this attitude where, hey, right now, today, it might not be the most that you have, but God could still do something with it to do amazing things. And it transcends all ages. This is why, like, if you're 65, the best moment in your whole life in your relationship with God could still be possible. Because I could tell you story after story of people who are older than 65 in the Bible and in real life who did amazing things. If you're 13, again, God could do amazing things through you. Because again, I have many examples in the Bible and outside the Bible where people were able to do things through God's strength to change the world. It's not about how much we have or how little we have. It's about this heart where you come and say, God, you know, this is what we have. It sounds ridiculous because you're trying to feed 13,000 people, but here's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I offer it to you. Were there other people with food that day? I think so. My wife and I, one of the things we used to joke about is we should never go anywhere without food in reserve because she needs food. So I'm sure there are people like that. You know? But God used this person. Why? Because he was the one who offered it. He was a boy who gave the 5 barley loaves. Who cares if you have 10 barley loaves somewhere, you know, or 10 fish? If you don't give it to Jesus, he can't use it. He brought it through Jesus. And I just want us to really emphasize that. Bible teaches that God often uses the weak and the insignificant on purpose to do great things. He chooses them purposely because he wants people to see it's not your talent or your gifts that are able to do things, but it's him. You know, if, let's say our church has a revival, and it's because of a child in our church, a children ministry. It's very possible, by the way. A third grader. Because of his faith, it just the whole church gets transformed. I think everyone could say, you know, as great as that third grader's faith might be, it's going to be God behind it. And God says, that's why I purposely do it. I purposely used insignificant and the weak to do amazing things because I want people to be able to see that. And I share, you know, one of the messages I shared in the beginning was, I want us to do things where nobody in the world could say, you know what, it's Pastor David or the organization or the leaders, because the things that we're doing cannot be explained by human powers. When you're there, you know, a lot of people have issues of miracles. So I don't know how many of you guys really believe that Jesus was there on that day. And there's 13,000 people, and there's a little boy who was really alive, who brought 5 barley loaves and brought 2 fish. And then Jesus took that and prayed over it, and he started breaking it, and then afterwards, every single person ate, and there's 12 baskets left over. I don't know how many of you guys believe literally, right? Sometimes it's hard for me to believe literally. But what I really, really learned to believe is, the things that I think are impossible are not, you know, that much better than things that I think are possible. For example, I think when I pray that God listens. I've never seen God. Have you guys ever seen God physically? I just close my eyes and I believe I'm talking to God, right? So for a lot of people, that's pretty impossible as much as, you know, Jesus doing miracles like that. It's just what you think is normal, what you think is not, whether you grew up in a tradition and you learned to believe that or not, right? I truly believe this happened in real life. 13,000 people got fed by Jesus Christ on that day. He did something that is physically impossible. Nobody could do it. Only God could do it. No human being could ever take credit for it. And when people saw that, their lives were transformed. See, that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to do things where nobody could ever say, that is, okay, you did it. You're amazing. You're such a great leader. You organized such a great program. No, only God could do what he did that day. And God still wants to do that today. Now, I just want to ask you guys a question, okay? Let's close our eyes. In your life, in our church, if you have to think about something or things where only God could do, and at the end of the year, you know, end of December, you know, what would be those things that he would have to do where we could all say, you know what, honestly, there's no way that it was Pastor David or our leaders or our individual, they were used by God, but it had to be God. What are some of those things? Like the miracle that I experienced. And the thing that I want us to really, really have is, God, can you give us faith that you could do that? Because if you can't do that, then we're just wasting our time. If we're wanting things that only you and I could do, then we're wasting our time. Because we're not utilizing God, and we're not fully experiencing the limitless God that we have in our lives. And I'm not saying we need to use him for our benefits. We're saying desperate needs that we have. God wants to come, and he wants to help us. In this case, they weren't going to die if they didn't have food that night. But God is compassionate. He gives more than we deserve, more than we need. And I think he's saying, in our lives, in our church, he's ready to do things that only he can do. What are those things? And if you guys could think of him, I just want to encourage you guys, pray about those things. Let's ask God. Let's challenge God. God, if you did it for them 2,000 years ago, I need to see it happen more in my life to have greater faith. Can you show me that you are that kind of God still? And let's see what happens. Is it God who is not ready to be the same God that he was 2,000 years ago? Or is it us who doesn't really need that or want that, or who doesn't even perceive that, right? So I just want you guys to think about that for a minute. I want to really encourage you guys to think about something in your personal life. It might be huge. It might be impossible. That's exactly the kind of thing that God is very good at. Because it is impossible for us. But nothing is impossible for him. Okay, you may open your eyes when you are done. Then when you're done, let's look at verse 12. I want to just end with this part. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments and that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. I think two things stand out right there. One is, when God moves and he does something miraculous, there's always leftover. Like, he always gives more than there's a need. And that's such a consistent characteristic of God. You ask for something and there's an overabundance. And I think for me, worship is the greatest example of that. We come to offer God something, but so many of us leave being just filled by his spirit and being encouraged, and we receive something. So much so that we almost have a mindset where we come in and we automatically think, what can I get out of it? Message better be good. You know, oh, worship band was so amazing, right? Why did that start? Because people used to come to service and like, there's something that they're leading with that is greater than they gave to God. It's just so amazing, right? I think the second thing is this. When people see signs and wonders, it has to be directed towards God. And here they say, this is indeed a prophet who's come into the world. They saw something. They said, you know what? How can this be? And they say, Jesus is not a normal person. He has to be someone from God. And they raise their eyes at God. And this has to be the ultimate goal for every Christian's life and every church. Where when we're doing things, they're not praising us and they're not praising our church, but their focus has to be something greater. And I think that's when you know you're right at the center of God's heart. Right at the center of God's heart. And so those are some things I think we could kind of take together. One thing I talked about last week was resting, right? And one of the questions that people give, you know, ask me a lot is, okay, what does it mean to serve God and yet you're still resting? You're spending time with him. And this is the main reason why I want to share this message. Because I think the boy was a great example where he gives what he has and then he gives it to Jesus. And he does things that only he could do. And so in my mind, the formula is always simple. I give what Jesus wants. I give what God wants. I offer it to him. But the end result is up to God. And so all he's asking is, hey, give what you have and leave the end result. You know? If people come and their lives get changed, that's up to him. If people come and they encounter God, that's up to him. We can't transform that. All we can do is try our best and be the best that we can and give what God is asking us to do. And for me, I've never, ever struggled in my relationship with God when I said yes to God every time he asked me to do something. Now sometimes, a lot of times, he's not asking us to do more. He's not saying, oh, you know, you need to come to church more often, spend more time, or talk to this person more. Sometimes he is, but most times he's not. A lot of times, he challenged me to do this. You need to forgive this person. You need to talk to that person more. You need to open your heart to that person. You need to break down these barriers. And then even more times, he's saying, you need to do less and spend more time with me in time of prayer and to worship with me. A combination right there. Give what he is asking for. Take a step back. Leave it to him. You don't have to micromanage it. You know, he knows what he's doing. And just say yes to whatever he's saying. I think that's the combination of resting and working. And I think when you're doing that, you're right where you're supposed to be. All right, let me pray for you guys one last time. And then we'll wrap up this time of work. I just want to thank you so much. And I just want to challenge every single one of us to be like the boy. And Lord, I truly believe that this happened. Because, you know, I believe you're listening to us right now, and I don't really see the difference between you feeding 5,000 people or 13,000 people with a few bread is any more challenging to you than you being a God who's listening right now and caring about what I'm saying. And I just want to pray, Lord God, that all of us will have a heart like the boy, where we're just giving you what you ask, taking a step back, and letting you do the things that you could do with those things. Because we want to experience things that only you could do in our church. And I just want to pray for all of us, any one of us that did have a specific thing, whether it's in our lives, in our church, where we say, you know, it would be impossible if this happened, but we give it to you anyways, God, that you would just take those prayer requests especially, and Lord, show us that you are a God of impossible. God who does miraculous things still, and that you are amazing still, and that you are there for us every single day. I want to thank you so much, and just stay and pray. Amen.